installment of ACM SIGMOD Records series of interviews with distinguished members of the database community. I'm Marianne Winslet, and today we're in Istanbul, site of the ICDE 2007 conference. I have here with me Kyu-Young Kwang, who is a professor of computer science at the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology and the director of the Advanced Information Technology Research Center there. Before joining KAIST, Kyu-Young was a member of technical staff at IBM T.J. Watson Research Center. Kyu-Young's research interests are very broad, encompassing many different types of database systems, as well as data mining and data streaming. Kyu-Young is an editor-in-chief of the VLDB Journal, a former member of the VLDB Endowment, and an IEEE Fellow. Kyu-Young's PhD is from Stanford. Kyu-Young, welcome.
Well, thank you, Marianne. I must say I'm much honored to be invited to this interview.
Thank you.
I thank you very much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Please have a seat. Kyu-Young, what led you to move from a research lab to academia?
Well, I truly enjoyed working at IBM and working with the brilliant people there. But I had a sense of duty to make contributions to Asia-Pacific database community and to bring up the level of database research in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the brilliant students at KAIST was a very important motivation, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Recently, we've started to see an exodus of researchers from academia to industrial labs, motivated by the urge to get access to real-world data. If you were a young researcher at IBM today, would you still leave for academia?
Well, I think I certainly would. Actually, my motivation to move to academia was that I was able to teach brilliant students and to have them and see them make contributions, as well as I do the research myself and make contributions myself. In fact, I wanted my students to be as competitive and capable as anyone educated in the top universities in the world. And I think some of them has very excellent potential to achieve that objective.
Okay. From your time at Stanford, you're familiar with academic life in the U.S. How is life as an academic database researcher in Korea different from in the U.S.?
I'd like to mention two aspects regarding this question.
Mm-hmm.
One is the availability of information and its timeliness.
Really?
And two is the infrastructure supporting the research activities. So in earlier days, say 20 years ago, the availability of information was a problem in Korea and probably in other nations in the Asia-Pacific region, lagging by months and even years. So if a conference is held in U.S., and it'll take 3 months to get proceedings.
Yeah.
And it'll take another 6 months for it to be disseminated.
Yeah.
But nowadays, the technology makes the information dissemination almost immediate. And the problem doesn't exist anymore. Nevertheless, the infrastructure is still a problem. And basically, people in Korea are very busy. The main reasons are we have less adequate infrastructure, including administrative support, technical support, and many other things. And ever-evolving evaluation systems, and the rapid change of socio-economic systems, and etc. And this gives much less time for the researchers to concentrate on research. And we need a more stable research environment for those researchers and the students as well to make a bigger and longer-term research contributions.
Okay. What do you view as the major contributions and impact of your research?
I'd like to mention three equally important pieces. Yeah, the first one is to pioneer the new notion of probabilistic counting. Probabilistic counting statistically counts the number of unique values in an attribute or in a set in a linear time with the order n time complexity,
mm-hmm.
with arbitrarily specified error bound. This is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a surprising result because it was a common belief that counting unique values required sorting, which is a much more costly operation.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, probabilistic counting is being used in IBM's DB2.
Mm-hmm.
And is actively used in other areas such as approximate query answering,
mm-hmm.
and data mining, sampling, mm-hmm. and data streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I initiate this work with Morton Ashtrahan and Mario Shkolnik
mm-hmm.
in 1981 at IBM Almaden Research Center,
mm-hmm.
Then San Jose Research Lab actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed three algorithms. And many other people contribute to this project, including Nigel Martin and Mark Wegman and Philip Lajolet, who was a visiting scientist at that time and who made a very complicated analysis of one of those algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
And the probabilist counting is very heavily cited these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I have two other things. And the second is pioneering work on the query optimization model of mm-hmm. a main memory relational DBMS.
Mm-hmm.
An Office Spy example called OBE is a full-blown implementation of main memory resident relational DBMS.
Mm-hmm.
It was developed at IBM Watson around 1983-5, and Moshe Zuluf led the project at that time. Now, I implemented the query optimizer. And the key problem was that we need a new cost model for the main memory resident database.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, we counted the number of disk IOs and something like that in conventional disk-based systems.
Yeah.
But in main memory systems, you don't have disk IOs,
mm-hmm.
theoretically.
Right.
And counting CPU cycles to model the CPU cost model will be next to impossible.
Yeah.
And it will be impractical, at least.
Yes.
So we needed a model how to count those, evaluate cost model. And I proposed at that time to use a system's bottleneck. Bottleneck means
mm-hmm.
we do the system profiling of the execution
mm-hmm.
and identify the bottleneck, the piece of code that consumes most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we count a number of bottlenecks,
mm-hmm.
several types of bottlenecks with different weights.
Mm-hmm.
And that replaces counting the number of disk IOs in disk resident database system.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a fairly new idea at the time.
Yeah.
And then it also influenced some cost models of commercial main memory and database DBMS, mm-hmm. such as Times 10,
mm-hmm.
The company founded by Marion Niemann from HP,
mm-hmm.
And kind of variation of what he have done at
mm-hmm.
the time. Yeah, the third contribution is, and probably the most important, is the development of Odysseus DBMS,
mm-hmm.
Proposing the notion of a tight coupling of database management system with the information retrieval,
mm-hmm.
namely DBIR tight integration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Odysseus has made a significant practical and industrial impact by being used as a main search engine called Naver, N-A-V-E-R, which is a fabricated word meaning navigator,
mm-hmm.
At its startup phase, and by helping it to grow to $6 billion company in a very short period of time. Naver, which is called the NHN company currently, is the number one internet portal site in Korea,
mm-hmm.
and more popular than Google.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that DBIR integration is becoming a new area of active research. And I'd like to note that Odysseus had a full-blown implementation of tight coupling of DB and IR in 1997,
mm-hmm.
and has also made a practical industrial impact as well. And patents have been granted in the U.S. and in Korea, and Odysseus consists of 450,000 lines of C and C++ highly precision code of commercial quality. And we demonstrate this system in IEEE ICDE in 2005 in Tokyo, winning the best demonstration award.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, even today, Naver still has more than twice as many hits and users as Google. Since there's a Korean version of Google now, why is Naver still so much more popular?
Well, I think basically it is their business model. Their business model is better suited to Korean language environment, and they collect more Korean language web pages,
mm-hmm.
and they are making active use of user-created content
mm-hmm.
from blogs and communities and other things. And the Naver has a lot of loyal users of
yes.
the Naver system in Korea,
uh-huh.
and they produce lots of content through these facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is that Naver has an affiliation with many important content providers,
mm-hmm.
including newspaper agencies, and they collect all those newspapers and provide the services from the Naver side.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people log into the Naver and read the newspapers from Naver,
yeah.
rather than going to the newspaper's own site.
Mm-hmm.
So basically this is kind of business model and contents
mm-hmm.
That are geared to the Korean community and culture
mm-hmm.
That makes Naver strong.
Okay. And why don't you have a startup that sells Odysseus?
As I mentioned, I think Naver has already made significant industrial impact.
Mm-hmm.
Whether to make that as a company or not is a different question.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying very hard to transfer this technology also to other companies,
mm-hmm.
Including big companies like LG Electronics, which
mm-hmm.
is very well known
worldwide,
a Korean company. So I think the role of a researcher is probably to develop the technology and transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And making it a company and entrepreneurship is the second thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as easy in Korea to start up a company compared
mm-hmm.
with in the U.S.
Oh.
Yeah. There are lots of many considerations that you have to
make. What makes it harder there?
Well, the... I think basically that's infrastructure
uh-huh.
to make the new startups to be easily made
oh,
and
uh-huh.
run.
Mm-hmm.
And also your time as a professor
yeah,
to spend in the new startup. You are already very busy as a professor.
Yeah.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
if you start a company, then how could you make?
Mm-hmm. Maybe on sabbatical, maybe.
Well, anyway, there are many, many problems to
uh-huh.
You have to think if you want to do it.
I've heard that you hold doctoral seminars on Saturday evenings when you're in Korea, starting at 8 p.m. or so and lasting until 2 a.m. or later. I've also heard that you ask great questions during these seminars. For our readers who would like to become better question askers, do you have any tips on how to think of good questions during a seminar?
That's an interesting question. First, I'd like to mention that the Saturdays have been half working days in Korea until
uh-huh.
a few years ago
mm-hmm.
when the government made it instituted a policy to make it holidays.
Okay.
And we frequently work late at night so that we can have many hours of quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturdays were good candidates to make this objective.
Mm-hmm.
So we frequently worked on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And students usually come up with potentially very good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Now what's important is that how to make this potentially important idea into real important idea.
Yeah.
And I usually advise the students to keep two things in mind. One is to use the known expertise, mostly those accumulated in our lab,
mm-hmm.
to test these new ideas against.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I mean, to substantiate the idea.
Yeah.
So it is like touchstones to check against, test against, to check whether it's really genuine gold or not.
So are you mean testing against software that you have in the lab, or are you talking about the other people in the lab?
Well, it's not, I'm not exactly talking about software, but when you have some idea, you have to have a model to check the idea against. Now, the model comes from your own expertise or from collectively from our lab. So there are some certain new idea, then you evaluate it piece by piece against what you already know. And by doing that, it's like a test stone. I mean, what do you call it? The touch stone. So you test it whether that's, that idea is really, you know, valuable.
Yeah.
Can, or could be substantiated. So just coming up with a new idea out of blue doesn't really, sometimes doesn't contain the real contents. It has to be. It has to be tested out by using the previous experience. So that's an important point. And the second is to check the completeness. I mean, whether it covers every case or there is something missing. And completeness is a very effective tool to find the holes in your idea. And oftentimes people think mainly about soundness, whether it makes sense or not, but oftentimes it overlooks the completeness aspect. So if you check the completeness, you can easily find the holes. And those holes make excellent questions to raise.
Okay. You're the current president of the Korea Information Science Society, which is the Korean equivalent of ACM. What projects do you have planned for the society?
First, it's quite an honor for me to be elected the president of Korea Information Science Society. It's called K-I-S-S, and we pronounce it KISS with long I to distinguish it from kissing.
Okay.
And KISS is like a Korean version of ACM, and it's the largest and oldest computer and information-related professional society in Korea. And KISS is very important for domestic researchers and practitioners because it provides the opportunities for them to participate in their varieties of academic and industry-oriented activities. We know that opportunities for participating in international academic activities is limited into aspects. One, obviously, such opportunities are not available to all the domestic researchers and practitioners. And two, there are many activities geared to only domestic problems. So what concerns us, what are important, and what we wish to achieve are different because Korea or any other country is at a different level of development from other countries. So they have their own problems. And so during my tenure as a president, I'm trying to reinforce several aspects. Strengthening the domestic journals, which are published in the Korean language, so that many domestic participants can contribute their research contributions. And initiating a new English journal. And importing the fellow system for recognition of contributions of our members, and strengthening computer science education from elementary school to high schools, which is very important. I mean, the colleges, universities are suffering from the inadequate education of in computer discipline from those earlier stages of education.
Oh, that surprises
me. We have to strengthen those things. And enhancing programming skills in low classes, like a freshman and sophomore, in college education. And there are lots of other important issues that we have to address. And the KISS has to be the place and the vehicle where our members can address their concerns and achieve their objectives. And I'm committed to helping our members along this perspective.
Great. What do you think are the ingredients of good teaching or training of systems-oriented graduate students?
Teaching may involve many things, but I'd like to focus on working with PhD and master's students.
Mm-hmm.
I think computer science in general, and especially databases, are quite prototype-driven. And although theoretically interesting results are equally important, mm-hmm. we very much emphasize on practical impacts.
Mm-hmm.
So I firmly believe in the importance of systems-oriented research, and that students must have a strong background in systems and programming. Of course, the creativity is of prime importance in the PhD training, but strong background in systems of programming will give students more freedom in choosing their research, and also add practical values mm-hmm. in what they invent. So our Odysseus project provides excellent opportunities to my students in that respect. We have produced tens of highly skilled system programmers, internationally competitive. In fact, my two former students worked at IBM Almaden Lab as postdocs recently, and one worked with Michael Carey on making DB2, the relational DBMS.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very initial effort for IBM to make them object relational.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Object Strike Back or whatever, the task force, whatever.
Okay.
And he made very important contributions there.
Uh-huh.
And another one worked with Guy Lohmann and Volker Markel on advanced techniques in query optimization.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that their work is almost made to a product,
mm-hmm.
Which is a significant contribution. So my students, their systems-oriented skills in research capability have been very highly evaluated at IBM Almaden, and I'm very proud of it.
Your son is now a member of the Stanford Database Group. What do you think about his following a career that's similar to yours?
I'm very happy and proud that Stephen has been admitted to the Stanford Computer Science PhD program, which is truly excellent.
Uh-huh.
And it was Stephen's big dream
uh-huh.
to study at Stanford,
uh-huh.
where very tough but intriguing challenges are waiting for him.
Okay.
And actually, he was born at Stanford. Also,
yeah.
And his dream came true.
Yeah,
I mean, it's completely up to him what to study and what career he would make.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, many years ago, I recommended him to be a medical doctor.
Oh.
And apparently he didn't like it,
okay.
But instead he liked computers.
Okay.
So it perfectly justified that he become a computer scientist.
Okay.
And I don't mind his becoming a computer scientist,
mm-hmm.
Even though I'm in the profession,
mm-hmm.
where he can experience with many challenges and creativity,
mm-hmm.
and can make practical impacts. And I don't hesitate to tell him that the database area
mm-hmm.
has been and will continue to be the area of prime importance.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the information age, how to deal with and how to make the best use of vast amount of information and data will be the key problem to solve. And I don't think it will change many, many years to come.
Do you have any words of advice for fledgling or mid-career database researchers or practitioners?
There may be many things to advise, but one thing I'd like to emphasize is that I think they need a long-term vision,
mm-hmm.
or an objective or a direction, however rough it is. So, of course, it can change, and sometimes it must change. But still, you need to have a direction or mm-hmm. vision. Right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you are very susceptible to fast changing fashions of research mm-hmm. and practice. You will easily get astray. Mm-hmm. So many people, especially in academia, tend to become hostage of pressure of publishing. Mm-hmm. And they work on whatever can be made a paper.
Yep.
But I don't think this is a good approach.
Yeah.
So you need a vision, mm-hmm. a strong, the concrete direction.
Yeah.
And you stick to that. And then eventually, many variations, including those, you know, fashions, mm-hmm. by changing fashions in research and practice, will melt into your own vision mm-hmm. rather than the other way around. Mm-hmm. And that way, your vision will also be reinforced. Mm-hmm. So you have to stick to mm-hmm. one direction.
If you magically had enough extra time to do one additional thing at work that you're not doing now, what would it be?
This was a difficult question, but I just simply say that I do the exercise.
Exercise,
and
okay.
To keep myself in shape. Uh-huh. And this is one of the things that I'm not doing very well uh-huh. recently, uh-huh. and I certainly will correct in the coming years.
What kind of exercise would you do?
Well, my favorite is to make a little walk over the hill.
Oh.
It's close to my home. Uh-huh. So I usually do it during the weekend, but I uh-huh. probably I could do it during the weekdays okay. also. And, that's most a favorite one.
Okay. Mm. If you could change one thing about yourself as a computer science researcher, what would it be?
Yeah, I think I have many things I have to, must change.
Mm.
If I name one, I don't think this is a problem of only the computer scientists, but many people in present days tend to be addicted to work.
Yeah.
So, like you and me, uh-huh. and achievements.
Uh-huh.
So we call them workaholic, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And they tend to lose appreciation of their personal lives.
Yeah.
So, computers have been invented to help people in this respect, actually. Yeah. But oftentimes they work on the contrary.
Yeah.
So, as we have more technology in computers and other things, you tend to work more.
Uh-huh.
To achieve more.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I really wish to change myself in this respect. In the coming years.
Well, how would you do that, though? I mean, that seems tricky.
Well, trying to take time and spend the time with the family
mm-hmm.
and my parents, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. who are getting fairly old these days. Mm-hmm. I think I must spend more time with my parents. Mm-hmm. And also spend time with friends.
It does sound appealing, doesn't it? Yeah.
I really wish you today.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you very much. And Marianne, you were very great.
Thank you.